Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
What do you wear to a Giants game, Eno? Is it like going to the Iditarod or something? It just looked very cold there again last night.
Yeah. I said to AJ Cassavelli, you know, covers the team. You know, I said, just another cold day. I was getting some tea in summer. And I was like, just another cold day. He's like, yeah, it's not even that cold, but it's cold.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just kind of like bone chilling a little bit. I was at Oracle last year in like September and was like, all right, like I gotta plan better next year when I go.
Yeah.
Lots
of hoodie sales.
Lots of hoodies.
Forgot the hoodies.
100%. Very smart on their behalf. Obviously a tough one for Padres fans last night, but you know, after stealing the first two, you lose that game last night. You got to see though the Giants reliever who is just so nasty. Randy Rodriguez, I was kind of unfamiliar with him until a couple of games ago. I don't follow the Giants all that closely, but holy smokes, man, this kid is pretty electric. And you know, get a couple guys on last night in the ninth. Like, all right, here we go. They leave Ryan Walker and they go to Randy Rodriguez, and he didn't make Jackson Merrill look very good.
Oh man, and it's so funny because they were pointing out here on the radio that he's known for throwing 100. Randy throws 100. And so, you know, Merrill sees him warming up, throwing some 100-mile-an-hour warm-up pitches.
Yes.
Gears up for 100. First pitch he gets is a changeup.
Nasty.
And then he gets two back-foot sliders.
Forget it.
Yeah, it was a nice outing for him. He's part of why I had a bold prediction that the Giants have the best bullpen in the majors. And so far it's been pretty good that way. The Padres – were the rabbit. They came out with some good stuff early, but one thing that I think is true about the Padres pen is a little bit of overuse.
Yes.
Jason Adam leads the league in appearances, and at 31, that's almost a pace for like 90. That's too much. You know, like Justin Marger once told me, I know it's just a Samarja thing, but I think it's kind of a true thing. If you look around, people who throw 85 innings in relief don't do it very often. You know, so 85 is a big number for me. So 90 would be an intensely large number. I look through, every time I look through his game log, I'm like, oh, he plays two in a row and then he takes one day off and then it's two in a row again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they need to step off of Adam a little bit.
So that's an interesting a concept, because I think you're right. Obviously, with Adam, they use him a ton. But in overall bullpen usage, the Padres are middle of the pack. We were looking it up this morning. It's not like they're not getting enough from their starting pitchers. I mean, they've had good starting pitching, and, you know, they're not pulling them early. Is it simply because they've just been using the same guys all season long and haven't had a lot of, you know, turnover up and down from the minors or the injured list, that they've had a few who've come in, but for the most part, it's been the same back-end guys since the season started? Morejon,
the formula.
Adam, yeah. Estrada, and Suarez have been their guys, and they've all been healthy and available, so they've been used the most.
I mean, it's a product of being good. It's like you're using your A bullpen a lot because you're in games, you're winning games. So it's just a side effect of having a good team and winning games. It is one you have to manage, though, you know. And the way to manage it is to develop guys, to use Yuki some days when, you know, you'd like to use somebody else, or, to call up guys, you know, even, you know, some of the call-ups they've made. I have an eye out for David Morgan. I know he had that one home run.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. But in terms of stuff, he's got some of the best stuff in that pen. I, you know, the stuff ratings, he actually has the best stuff in the pen. by Stuff Plus. So something like somebody like Dave Morgan could be really important for this team. And even Reynolds too. It's just if they can pitch the eighth some days instead of Adam, you know, that makes a world of difference to the team.
That's a good idea. You know, it is in certainly in theory, and it's like you said, it's a product of being really good at your job if you're Jason Adam. Really good, in fact. And you can totally see why a manager's like, no way. Like I will get crushed if I go to David Morgan here when I got Jason Adam coming off of a day off. And I can understand Schilt's perspective. Didn't work out last night for Jason Adam, but I just looked it up as well. He and Lewis Varland both tied with 31 appearances for relievers. Right. Yeah, and Tyler Rogers right behind him, San Francisco relief pitcher, was pretty.
But he throws like 82. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And from the ground up. Can we talk for a second about somebody asked in the chat? Hey, when you get Eno on, ask him what differences he's seeing in Fernando Tatis Jr. We were kicking it around in the dugout on Sunday. Everyone's like, man, he got off to such a hot start doing a certain thing. Stayed pretty hot, then changed, seemingly everything. Like, changed his approach, changed his leg kick, went back to this, toe tap, whatever it is. Why change something if it's working? Don't know. Baseball players are weird, right? They do that all the time. From your perspective, what are you seeing out of Fernando Tatis, maybe his swing path or anything like that you could shed some light on?
Well, one thing I have noticed is that generally this year he's moved up in the box and he's letting the ball travel a little bit, which is just a slightly weird combination. Most players, if you've noticed, wear out the back part of the box.
Yes.
You know, and the idea is just get longer to see the ball. These guys are throwing super hard. You want longer to make your decision. And like, while he hasn't moved up a lot, it's like an inch up in the box. And while he hasn't, he's not letting the ball travel a ton, it's 2 inches. And it's from like getting the ball at a normal spot for big leaguers to, letting it travel more than most big leaguers. He's also way more open this year. His stance is went from 29 degrees open to 49 degrees open. So I prepared a lot of questions to talk to Tatis last night. Didn't get the chance, but I do see that these things are things that I would do if I was trying to make more contact. And I think that's basically what you can see in Tatis's overall line. This is the best strikeout rate of his career.
Yeah.
I think that he hasn't even had that much of an impact to his power numbers overall. But I do think he has reduced his power upside a little bit with these changes. And I think I would prefer to have a Tatis that struck out 23% of the time and could hit 35 and 40 homers. And instead, we're getting a guy who's going to have a better batting average, maybe get on base more. I'm not even sure that's the case. Is more likely to hit, 28 to 32 homers this year.
Interesting.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking to Eno Saris, our weekly conversation from The Athletic. Eno, we all know the Padres need a left fielder. Some rumors this week. Padres interested in Jaron Duran. Jeff Passan said Luis Robert could be a fit. Let me ask you, is Duran worth the price the Padres would have to pay to get him, or is Robert a gamble worth maybe the money they'd have to take on to acquire him? Your thoughts on those guys?
Duran is a much more sure thing.
Sure.
In terms of, makes more contact, just a lot less volatile game. he isn't necessarily hitting for the power he did last year, but if you look at his top end, exit velocities, I think there's more power in there, and I think it's just really time that will give him a power boost. So I think it's a decent time to buy him. One thing that people may not know about Duran is that he's 28, and even though he is under team control until 2029, there is a possibility that his peak is behind him. The established peak is pretty much 26 to 27. So maybe last year was a career year. That, all that said, like, he's a guy who makes contact, plays defense pretty well, although a little stretched in center, and is an above average player all around. So I would prefer him if I had the choice. The thing that's so difficult is that the Red Sox are a team that has a good lineup. They have a replacement even for him. If they want to bring up Roman Anthony, they want to build for now. So the trick he'd have to pull is giving them something that, that makes them better now, you know? So it would be difficult, I think, for the Padres to sell them on a prospects deal for Duran.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen some of the reported deals, and I'm like, there's no way. Yeah, people are out of their minds. These are judgy in type. I mean, it's like, oh, they're one, they're three, they're five, and two guys off the big league roster. I'm like, not for Jaron Duran, you don't.
He's the sixth best hitter on the Red Sox, would probably be the fourth best hitter on the Padres.
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, he's good.
He's good, and he would help us immediately.
You don't give up everything in the world to get Jaron Duran.
I couldn't agree more. Quickly, you know, we got a few minutes left. Man, we are big fans of Luis Arraez on this program. The person, the attitude, the player, probably a dream for a manager, to have a guy with that presence in the clubhouse every day. The production is starting to wear, I think, on even us who in a group text last night were like, I don't know, man. I just don't know if you can lay out a bunch of cash to re-sign Luis Arraez. Winning player, certainly not great at Petco Park. What are you seeing from Luis Arraez that, you know, gives us this level of concern?
Yeah, I mean, wisdom of replacement can be flawed in certain situations,
sure.
But in this case, it tells the story of a guy who's, you know, basically replacement level right now.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, what you're getting a bunch of singles, and that's great. The batting average is decent. The OBP is not that great because he doesn't walk. It's all basically batting average. And he's not hitting for power this year, or never really. He's not really a power guy. And then you're like, oh, he doesn't run well. And he doesn't really field well. You know, that's what wins a replacement does, is sort of add it all up. Now, what he does do that's really important is what, like, Junghoo Lee does for the Giants. You know, what Stephen Kwan does for the Guardians, which is, you know, it's really important to have a guy who hits singles, you know, who makes contact. It's really important to have someone in that gives the lineup a different look. So you can have slugger, you know, Arraez, you know, and that just keeps the lineup moving. It gives you ball in play when absolutely everything you all need is a ball in play. He's your guy. So I think that that skill alone is worth paying for. But I think it's because people will be surprised by the number that he gets. I think it might be a smaller number. I think it might be somewhere around, you know, $10 million a year. Maybe it's like a 3-30, you know, sort of deal. Yeah. And if it is that kind of a deal, then it might make sense to bring it back.
Sure.
They've been paying him $14 million this year. If that's in the budget, then he does add a dimension to the lineup. But if he wants more than that, I think you've got to let him walk, because you just hope that you can either find another guy who makes contact or develop one. You know, there's got to be someone that can hopefully at least, you know, make some contact and move the lineup along the same way.
You know, enjoy the game this afternoon. Good pitching matchup. Dylan Cease and Robbie
Ray. Oh, I got to tell you something that Dylan told me. Dylan told me that in between starts, he's been throwing better than ever. And word for word, he said, I'm about to get hot. I don't know if it's going to be this start or the next start, but I'm about to get hot.
All right, I'm here for it, and I can't wait.
They need that. I mean, he's got one win.
And
the Padres are still 10 games above 500.
Let's get it.
It's pretty good. You know, we're out of time. Have a great time at the game today.
All right, see you.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.